Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Thompson, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my co-host, Jenny Holbrook, who is a compassionate divorce coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today our topic is, I've had enough, but how do I know when it's the right time to go? First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. You know, Cindy, I'm done. I'm done with this relationship. I've had it. I'm burned out. I'm cooked. Stick a fork in me and grill me because I'm done. But who's going to take care of the bills? And who's going to take care of everything that's been going on for the last several years? I mean, how do I leave? When I got so many responsibilities to take care of.
I understand. It's like I'm totally done, too. I'm so tired of him ignoring me all the time. He would rather do anything at all than to be in the same room with me. And I just am so tired of it because I want to be free. I want to be able to have somebody that loves and cherishes me the way that I want to be loved and cherished and the way that I think I deserve. And I'm just so done with him. I'm tired of begging. I'm tired of pleading. I'm tired of changing who I am, trying to make him happy because it's just I can never make him happy. And I know that. So I need to pursue my own happiness. But gosh, then I sit there and I think, am I being fair to my kids? And how am I going to support my kids without on a one-income salary? I think about all these other things, but I really want to leave, so what do I do? Go ahead. Welcome everybody to today's show. And today's topic is...
I've had enough, but how do I know when it's the right time to go?
Thank you. I've had enough, so when do I know when it's the right time to go? I'm not looking at it. Shame on me. But you can join in on the conversation by going to the Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/ your toxic relationship dance. Or if you want to call in, you can call in to 713-955-0561. And if you log on to the Blog Talk Radio show, then you can chat with Al. And so Al chose today's topic, and I really love it. So tell me, Al, what are you thinking? When does a person know when it's time to go, and how do they know when they've really had enough?
Well, for me personally, you get to the point, here's a perfect one or example. When you go to bed at night and you can't fall asleep, because all you're doing is thinking about your day's advances or what's been going on for the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months, or the last couple of years. You go to bed and you can't go to sleep, and the next morning you just don't have that gumption to get up and deal with another day, because in your mind it's just another day. It's a repeat of what transpired the day before, and from the week before, and the month before, and the years before. So that's when you get to that point where you can't sleep and you just don't want to get out of bed and deal with that relationship, whatever it is, whether it's a friendship or your job or a significant other, then it's time to move on.
Right. And and I understand that it's scary, and we all have heard about like the elephants. Whenever elephants are babies, then they're not strong enough to pull the chain out of the ground, that's tied to a stick. And this is how they train elephants for circuses. And so by the time the elephant grows up, it doesn't realize that it's strong enough to pull the stick out of the ground and leave. So it stays in its proximity. And there's another story, I think, I forget the name, but there is I think it was a lion that it was in a zoo, and it was in like this 12-foot by 12-foot cage, and all it did was pace back and forth. And after about 3 or 4 years, the zoo created this huge, beautiful sanctuary, like, if the lion was really living, in the wild. And they put the lion in the sanctuary, and the lion found this little 12 by 12 foot corner of the sanctuary and paced back and forth until it died, because the lion never realized there was so much more to life than his little self-imposed prison of the 12 by 12 area. And I think whenever you're in a relationship and it's like, you know, hey, I want to go, but it's there's something, you know, these limiting beliefs that we have that we're not able to go. And so we get stuck in this transition. It's like stay or go, stay or go, stay or go. Because even though there's this part of us that knows that there's this beautiful sanctuary out there, we're so used to that 12 by 12 cage that has become our own self-imposed prison.
So, Cindy, from your point of view, when is the right time?
You need to maybe even start in baby steps. When is the right time? The right time is whenever something happens that you just realize you cannot go on anymore the way you're going. And you start thinking, as you're pacing in your 12 by 12 cage, you start thinking, what would life be out? What would life be out? What would life be like? I don't know why I can't talk today. What would life be like out there? And you start picturing yourself doing things. Perhaps you can, you know, join clubs. You can start associating with other people outside of your normal people. You can even, interestingly, when I divorced, I went back to my maiden name for security reasons because of where I worked and because my ex's last name was so very, very, very uncommon. But whenever I started saying my name is Cindy Bass, I felt like a whole new person. So even if you're thinking about leaving, go out and act as if you are somebody else. Who it is that you want to be? Who do you want to be? Because whenever I started saying I'm Cindy Bass, I didn't feel those ties anymore, and I didn't feel trapped anymore. And I felt like, wow, I can be anybody I want to be because I'm Cindy Bass. I don't belong to this other group of family over here no more. They have nothing to say about what I do. It was an eye-opener for me, but I think it takes practice. You know, a lot of people know I struggled for 5 years in the should I stay or should I go mode. And interestingly, I didn't make a mistake. We were remodeling our house, and Earl thought that I didn't know how to measure the cabinets that we was ordering, so he measured them. And they were the wrong size, but naturally it was my fault because everything was my fault. And he forced me to get a second job because he was tired of paying for my mistakes, as he said it. But I sort of got a second job in spite of him, maybe partially. I think it was a combination of fear and also in spite of him. Because, hey, if I was working two jobs and he was going to have to do all the cooking, he'd have to do a lot more at home, right? But whenever I took this second job, telemarketing at nighttime, it gave me a sense of confidence that I had never had, that I could do whatever I needed to do to survive on my own. And I think when you're in that mode, there's some sort of a fear there of can you survive on your own. So what's one step you can do to boost up your confidence and decrease that fear so you are ready to leave?
You know, if I may add a few more things here, you got to reach out or you got to look for guidance because sometimes we make decisions and we rush into to making decisions. So you got to look for guidance. You got to look for the wisdom, whether you go innately or outside of yourself. You got to start looking for some guidance and then take inspired action and be prepared. You know, I'm not suggesting for anybody to say just get up and leave, you know, because you're fed up and tired of it and you've had enough. And you have to have some degree of preparation. And preparation comes, like I said, through guidance, you know, understand your options and realize, you know, what direction you can go, what directions you or choices you have to go, what path you can take. And then not only so then you take inspired action, not just typical action, but inspired action, you know, action because you've been guided in some form or another, and then be prepared. But again, that doesn't mean that you take a couple of years to prepare. You know, prepare as quick as possible so that you can move on.
And I love that you said guidance, because guidance is so important. I mean, even before I made the decision, I was constantly, this is how long ago it was, I was constantly listening to cassette tapes in my car from, you know, motivational speakers. I was constantly listening to these things. And this was like my guidance. I also got a coach, was my guidance. And I was reading all of these books, these self-help books. And so, you know, guidance can come in so many different ways. And so, you know, you can research, you know, books, you can ask, you can join forums and groups like the Your Toxic Relationship Dance. And you can ask, you know, hey, what book, you know, I'm trying to do this, what book should I read? Or do you have any resources? Because Al and I have a lot of resources. And if you ask us on the Facebook group, I'm sure one of us will either know right away what resource you need or are looking for, or we will know how to find them. But really utilize what resources you have out there. And as far as inspired action is concerned, what inspired action is doing something that feels right and good to you. And, you know, you're not forcing yourself to do it. You're not saying, I have to go get a job right now today in order to leave. But you start telling yourself, hey, if I want to leave, I really truly want to leave and I don't have a job and I need to support myself, then what type of a job do I want? And you just start thinking about it, because once you start thinking about it, you're putting the wheels in action. And then whenever you're thinking about it, you will be inspired at the right moment to do the right thing. And I did want to explain that for people who may not understand what inspired action is. But whenever you are following your heart and you're doing the inspired action, you are actually moving faster, moving towards your goal a lot faster than if you're trying to force yourself to do things that you think you have to do.
Agreed. And you know what? And for the audience, use the motivation of having enough. That, you know, in other words, you've had enough. You're done, you're ready to move on. Use that as your motivation rather than dwelling on the anger and the disappointment and the hurt and the pain or whatever it is that you're feeling. Because I know humanity has a tendency to sometimes just dwell in that and stay there for whatever reason. And so instead of staying there, use it as motivation to spark you to move forward, to move on, to evolve.
Mm-hmm. And if you've been in a toxic relationship where you've been controlled, and it's really difficult because your confidence is at an all-time low. And I don't suggest doing this before you make the decision, but after you make the decision, write down the reasons why you made that decision. And then whenever you start doubting yourself and saying, is this really what I want to do, you can reread your list of why you made the decision you do. Because, you know, Bob Proctor calls it a terror barrier, and whenever you're jumping into the unknown or you're jumping out of your comfort zone, and I don't think there's anything that will create a terror barrier as much as it is leaving a relationship. Because you are scared to death to leave, and you're scared to death to stay. And therefore, it's like if you stay, you know what's there. You know what to expect. And whenever you jump in, you don't know what to expect. And this is why it's so important to, you know, constantly ask yourself, what do I want? And whenever you make that decision, typically whenever you decide to leave, you don't leave that day. Typically not. There's some sort of preparation, as, you know, Al was talking about. So once you decide, then you write your list of why you made that decision, and then ask yourself, what steps do I need to take? What's the first step? Maybe it's finding an apartment to live in. Maybe it's going, if you have joint bank accounts, maybe it's going and taking half of the money out of the bank accounts and opening up your own. Perhaps it's, there's all kinds of things. If you fear any sort of domestic violence, then you want to have, the domestic violence center at hand. And one thing that I always advise, if there could be domestic violence, to have a code with a friend, as simple as an emoticon would probably be hard to type in, but my daughter, whenever she was leaving a toxic relationship and I was really afraid that it could become violent, if it became violent, she was going to text me the letter A. And because that would just look like, hey, I was starting to type something, but it didn't all go through. But this way, if I got a text from her with the letter A, I would know to call the police to go to her house. So you want to have the protection. And I say this especially for women, because most women who get brutally beat up or killed because of domestic violence have never been hit before. And a lot of people don't realize this, that they've never been hit before. But they have these violent tendencies. And there's lots of books and lots of stuff out there that you can read, even if you go to the domestic violence webpage. It gives you tips on and ideas so you can see, is your significant other prone to violence? That's part of being prepared. You know, money, where are you going to, furniture. Whenever I decided to leave Earl, I rented an apartment. I took half the money. I bought furniture. I bought a refrigerator. And I was also afraid that it could turn violent. So I knew that I could go to this apartment if it got violent, because he had no idea I had rented it and everything. So ask yourself, how can you be prepared?
Another aspect that we haven't touched on yet is the fear factor. And if you listen to fear, and a lot of that comes from ego, so you listen to your ego, you stay still. You don't do anything because out of fear, you don't want to go into the unknown or be uncertain. And it's silly for us human beings that we would rather stay in a silly comfort zone, even though we're not happy in it. Stay there because it feels secure. At least you know what you're dealing with, rather than going somewhere, venture off to something new and different, and go into the unknown and be scared because you don't want to go into the unknown because you're scared. So something to consider is the fear factor, and don't let fear override you. And again, you do have to prepare. But if you've done the best, your due diligence, and you prepare, then don't let fear stop you from moving on and moving forward. And the other aspect about this, and I don't want to get too woo with the audience, but life or the universe or the creator or whatever you want to call it, somehow, some way will support you to take care of you, to keep moving forward. So it's not like you're going to be abandoned and you're all alone. You know, even if you don't have the resources, tangible resources around you, somehow, some way, life will show up for you and support you. So don't listen to fear to the point where you don't do nothing and stay where you're at.
Yeah, I so agree with you, and that is all that the fear is a fear of the unknown. But if you need to be able to take that risk, because if you don't take the risk, you're never going to find the joy and happiness that you want and that you deserve. You're never going to find the love and the peace that you want and you deserve. So definitely, it's interesting in my life. And if you start thinking about your life, any time that you absolutely needed somebody, wasn't there somebody there to help you? I mean, even homeless people, seriously, if you sit there and you think about these homeless people that are on the street, and, if they need they need something, they somehow get it. There's There's people out there helping them. You know, if they need a blanket, they might borrow it from somebody. It's very interesting how street people live, but they do get what they need. And what they need isn't what a lot of what most of us would want, need and want, but some people get very comfortable living out in the streets, and they can't imagine living anywhere else. You even talk about people who, you know, are in prison, and they get out of, you know, prison, and they do something to get back in again because the outside world is too scary for them, and they know that in prison they have 3 square meals and a roof over their head. So whenever you start thinking this way, and this is why it's so important not to let fear keep you where you're at. Fear is your own self-imposed prison. Fear is your own 12 by 12 cage. That's what fear is.
And I agree, Cindy. And what I tell my audiences is that everything in the universe grows or evolves or moves forward or has success. It's always expanding. And if you're staying in one spot, especially if you're at the point where you've had enough, then you're not growing. You're not expanding. If anything, you're contracting, you're constricting yourself. And that's not natural because, that's not natural because everything, like I said, in the universe grows. A tree, a star, a planet, a human being, a plant, I mean, even bacteria grows. Everything grows. So if you're staying in that one spot and you're dwelling in the pain and the suffering and all that, you're literally dying because you're not expanding, you're not moving forward, you're not evolving. And so take that into consideration that everything, absolutely everything grows. And if you're not part of that natural ability, or if you're not evolving or moving forward, then you're stuck. And if you're stuck, you're dying.
Exactly. You know, and for some reason it popped, and really I feel inspired to share this. A lot of times whenever I'm meditating, I get these little visualizations. And this morning, it was really a pretty awesome visualization that popped into my mind. But to me, this was the definition. We always tell everybody, you know, in love and light, you know, we all look for love. We all look for peace. And what I envisioned was just all of us are very, you know, we're all where we are. But it's like maybe, you know, maybe you're holding my hand or Al's hand, and we might be elevated just a little bit above you, you know, but you are sitting there, and me and Al are holding your hands and pulling you up to have a better life. But also Al and I have people holding our hands, pulling us up, and the people that are holding our hands have people holding their hands and going up. And this is how I think the entire world is interconnected. And so if you're afraid of being on your own, or you're afraid of, you know, not going to have anybody, I really felt compelled to share this vision because there's always going to be somebody there holding your hand to pull you up. All you have to do is embrace it.
You know what, and I'm glad you brought that up. So for those of you that have a toxic relationship at your job and you're scared to leave your job, you know, again, take inspired action, be prepared, and then do what you have to do. And I'm not asking you to quit your jobs because, you know, I don't want you to come back at me and say, hey, well, I'll say to quit my job and I'll get another one. No, but you got to do your due diligence. And then trust that you'll be supported, just like the example Cindy just gave. You know, eventually, if you keep whatever action you put out, you're going to get that the same in return. So as long as you're moving forward, as long as you're taking inspired action, life will support you, and it will confirm to you that you're doing the quote unquote the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And I have typed in on our page or a few minutes ago, what is or has kept you in a toxic relationship? And if it's fear, what are you afraid of? I've had the responses, fear in breaking up a family, the fear of the emotional turmoil my kids would go through, and the fear of being alone forever or for a very, very long time. And you know, the fear of breaking up the family is thinking that, or that your kids is thinking that it's all on you. And it's actually, I think, a limiting belief that the kids are going to be destroyed for life. The kids are going to have troubles whether you stay married or not. Believe me, kids do. And so, or stay in the relationship or not. And I always look at my grandson is highly functioning autistic, and he handled the separation of his parents so well. And he's 7 years old now, and they broke up whenever he was about three. And he, being, you know, in three, he was nonverbal, but he handled it well. And so know that whatever your children are going through, they're going to be sad, and you can't stop them from being sad. But also, if you're in a toxic relationship, you're teaching them to grow up and be in a toxic relationship. And is that what you really want? And as far as being alone forever for a long time, you really need to ask yourself, is it worse being alone and free, or is it worse being with somebody, being in a relationship alone? And I always say that there's absolutely nothing in this world that's more lonely than being in a relationship alone. So if you're afraid of being alone, you have to ask yourself, would you rather be alone and free, or would you rather be alone in the relationship that you're in?
I love that, and good point, good solid point, Cindy. So I guess the bottom line for the audience, you know, reach out, look for your resources, look for the guidance, look for the wisdom, whether you do it innately or externally, look for the wisdom, and then take inspired action, be prepared, and don't let it stop you. Because if you've got to the point where you can't sleep at night, or you dread waking up in the morning, or you just, you know, whether it's a job, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a significant other, you know, if you're just looking at the whole scenario, you're saying, you know what, I'm done with this. You have to take it upon yourself to take care of yourself, and it's self-care. Love yourself enough that, you know what, I'm going to do what it takes so I can move on. And as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, but don't let fear stop you. Don't let the unknown stop you. Because you will be taken care of. You just got to show up and say, look, I'm going to do my due diligence, and I'm going to keep moving forward and trust that you will be supported.
And I want to add in there with, you know, if you feel like you're walking on eggshells, is that really what you want to do for the rest of your life? I have had men and women both tell me, oh, I just do everything I can to not piss him off or not piss her off. And so if you're in a relationship, and you spend all of your energy not trying to piss the other person off, that utilizes more energy than anything in the world. And it's not healthy for you or for anybody that's in the household, because you can feel the tension. So therefore, you have to ask yourself, you know, don't let this fear, you know, which fear is worse, the fear of staying the same or the fear of change?
You know what, the eggshells. I've been through that, so that might be a discussion for our next show. I'll have to think about it. But Cindy, great topic as usual, and great wisdom to be shared. And for the audience, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have a life you truly desire. My email address is al.diaz4love@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, join us. We just heard some phenomenal wisdom. I feel that we shared some great wisdom, some insights. Tell the world, share the link, and tell everyone you know. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. As usual, Cindy, you rock.
And you rock too, Mr. Al. And big hugs to all of our audience. Thank you for listening, and I love you all, and I truly wish you all the best.
Thank you. Right back at you. Have a great day.